Do you want to know something we've all got in common? Here it is. We all want our home to be our happy place. Of course, somewhere we actually look forward to coming home to. Why not make your home your happy place with Wayfair and become a happy new resident of the Wayberhood? Wayfair welcomes all home decorating styles, so they make it easy to find the perfect product for your home, no matter your taste. Plus, the Wayberhood exists in every single zip code because Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love, no matter where they live. Wayfair is the go-to destination for everything home. And with plenty of styles to choose from, Wayfair also makes it easy. With fast and free shipping, they'll even help you set up what you get. To find your own happy place in the Wayberhood, just visit Wayfair on their website or through the Wayfair mobile app. Wayfair, every style, every home. Food trends come and go, but there's one that never seems to go out of style. The classic chocolate chip cookie. Oh, my favorite. And Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies are as classic as it gets, truly. They're made from the original recipe you know and love. I'm talking semi-sweet chocolate chips, a satisfying crunch. All together in a cookie you can't help but eat in one bite. It's everything classic in a cookie. Find Famous Amos cookies anywhere you buy your favorite snacks. Hey, it's Andy Cohen here with this week's chapter of Andy Cohen's Daddy Diaries podcast. The high highs and low lows of my life as a daddy to two kids and dozens of housewives. Joining me as always is my co-host, John Hill. Hey, John.
Oh, hi.
John, we had a big week this week. You were in New York. We had a big week of Bravo news, including a couple cast shakeups. I am still glowing from being crowned the Grand Duke of Potomac, a fake title, but nonetheless, one that made my day. I went deep into the cult doc about Mother God. I unfortunately, John, got into a fight at your show with some gals that were sitting next to me.
Very traumatizing.
It's a rough one. And we open the mailbag. Lots coming at you this week. This is Andy Cohen's Daddy Diaries podcast. Monday, April 15th, 2024. I've got a spring in my step because my girl, John Hill, is here in the studio with me. Hey, John.
Hi.
Wow, well,
it's
this
so
is
good
exciting.
To be here. I hate being remote.
I know.
I'm sick of it.
I know.
I feel like our show is much better when we're in person.
Well, I feel like we might be kinder to each other when we're in person.
It's sure as hard to be mean to someone when they're sitting right in front of you, isn't it?
It's so true.
You're bullying me right up there.
Oh, you're the one being bullied.
I am being mistreated.
Oh, I didn't realize.
I love being a martyr, though, so keep at it.
Oh, let me tell you something. Martyr is a role that you love to play.
Yeah, don't take that away from me, please.
I won't, but the problem is that many of your martyr moments are misfires.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, girl. Yes.
Says who? I'm really good at it.
I had 9 hours.
What?
Of sleep last night, babe.
So lucky.
I went to bed in the 10 o'clock hour of the evening.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, man.
I flew from Seattle. Do you know how long that flight is?
Oh, it is interminably
like London
long.
Twice.
Yes, it is
7 hours.
Bad. What'd you do on the plane?
I watched Anyone But You.
What is that?
Sydney Sweeney's rom-com with that hot guy.
Oh, Glenn Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And? Yeah. That could work on a plane,
listen,
I bet.
It worked for me, but what happened was I was watching ISS about the International Space Station, that movie, which I did enjoy. And then I saw the guy between the cracks of the seats. I saw the guy in front of me watching Anyone But You, and I saw full butt.
Oh, and Glenn Powell's butt is in that movie?
Many times.
Wow.
He bends over and she checks him for spiders.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, I'm going to switch films.
You're now making me want to switch films. Drop Lucy off at school this morning. She now freaks out at drop-off out of nowhere. I don't know what happened. And I went in there and she started grabbing my leg. And then I sat down. I'm like, let's play with these boxes. And we were playing. And then her little best friend, Rue, came over with a flower. And I'm like, oh, how cute. Bye. And I ran out and closed the door. And I hear her in terror. And I was like, I know you're going to think of something else in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So I'm out the door.
That's hard.
I know. It is hard.
But also not. Because that's what she's supposed to be.
I took Ben and Lucy to see Straight Dave on Saturday. That's a great time killer. Driving to Harrison, New York. 50-minute drive, 5-0. Took him in. Now, when Ben was a little baby, I would drive him to Harrison. And almost every time at the 40-minute mark, he would puke all over himself.
Right. I remember that.
This time, 40-minute mark, Lucy threw up so much milk.
So
she was
gross.
Like a geyser.
Oh.
It was so disgusting. And then Ben's like, oh, this smells so bad. I think I'm going to barf. And then I pulled over. Apologies to the home in Scarsdale or wherever the hell that I was that we pulled over in front of your house. And Ben did barf a little bit in your bush, but it's cool. And I it was just a major cleanup. Lucy was crying. I'm cleaning up this gross milk smell. It was disgusting.
I barfed in your car this summer. Not in your car, but
what?
I took some pre-workout.
Yeah.
And I went to the gym in Amagansett where I saw Alec Baldwin.
Right.
I was talking to your nanny and I was spooning out the pre-workout I wasn't thinking. And I was thinking like, oh, I'm just this like protein powder or something.
God.
You're supposed to take like half a scoop and I took like four. I was not right for like 2 months after. It was called Woke AF from GNC. It was terrible. And
Did you barf?
In front. I was in your car and I pulled over in front of that grocery store, the IGA.
Oh, in Amagansett.
I pulled over and I opened the door and I barfed purple, like liquid grimace.
All right. Well, now you're giving way more details than I did.
I know, and everyone's welcome. Anyway, so I get it. Barfing in the car happens.
Barfing in the car happens. We went, anyway, we had a lovely time at Dave's.
What are you listening to in the car for
Allie
an hour? Allie
did a full...
Kiki?
Yeah, the Kiki Lounge. I've gotten the kids really into Hung Up. And Ben's like, will you put on Hung Up? I'm like, you know it, Ben. Yeah, I got this for you. Oh, my Lord. Sunday, I gave them the option of going to New Jersey. I went to the altars. Molly Alter is engaged to a perfect human being, this Frenchman from a small town in the Alps, and went to an engagement party over there. And I was like, well, Ben's like, well, how big of a trip is a trip to New Jersey? I'm like, well, it's a pretty big trip. He's like, okay, well, what is the party going to be fun? I'm like, he goes, will there be cookies? I go, there might be, but there won't be any kids. And I don't think you'll have fun. He's like, I'm going to stay home. I said, okay, great. So went there. Nice talk with Stephen Colbert. There were a lot of nice people there. John Alter gave a great toast. So mazel tov to Molly Alter. Got back to the city. Now, my family all thought I was in New Jersey. I got back a little sooner than I thought. Kind of pulled a fast one on him. Bruce is in town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last few weeks, I've been in that. It's been kind of a beautiful summery Sunday, the last few Sundays. And I've been in that water park on Hudson. There's a playground on the river. You can look up at the Standard where there is a huge gay party happening every Sunday. And there are thousands of gay dudes on the roof, thus taunting me, I feel. And I'm in the playground with the kids and I'm looking up and I'm like, wow, those people are really living it up.
They're in that hot tub.
Yeah, they're doing it. So this time I said, let's go to the Sunday Fun Day. I went to that place and you know what? I'm so glad I went because the playground is where it's at, as it turns out.
That's the astute.
I was like, this is not.
Way to think.
I was like, okay, well, this ain't it.
You've been to the Boom Room.
I've been there.
You don't need all that.
I have done it.
You had that experience. You're having a more enriching life moment.
I was so happy. And then, I was like, okay, fine. Yeah. I'm done.
You got your own hot tub in the Hamptons. It doesn't work yet, but you have your own.
You're right. You are so right. I want to get into some Bravo news because there is a lot. You all, well, we should change the opening of the show because from hence forward, I shall be referred to, because I have been officially crowned, the Grand Duke of Potomac. I was crowned last night at the end of Potomac Housewives. When I tell you, that reunion took, I think we were done around 9 o'clock. It was not a good day. There was a lot going on personally. And also, I really felt like we didn't get to the place with the group that I had hoped we would have, which is what our goal was at the beginning of the reunion. And so it had just been a long day. And I remember I had not slept particularly well the night before. And here we were. And I got to tell you something. And I had lost my voice at the end. I was in my feelings. All right. At the end, when Karen and Giselle came out and said, we have one more surprise. And they obviously fake crowned me the Grand Duke of Potomac. It made my night. It turned my night around. And let me tell you something. Ben Cohen has not stopped playing with my crown. And I keep saying, I need that crown back, Ben. That's my Grand Duke crown. I'm the Grand Duke of Potomac. So anyway, thank you to the ladies. They certainly, I skipped out of there. In my crown. I was so happy. You have heard the news. I know the Smith sisters are very upset that Robin Dixon is leaving the Housewives of Potomac.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she announced it this morning. She announced that she was let go. And I so respect Robin for truth bombing. You know, listen, anyone can say whatever they want when they leave the Housewives. And I just love it that that's what she said. She was like, look, I'm going to be straight with you.
Yeah.
Candace is also leaving the show. And I have to say, both of them have contributed mightily to the show. Robin Dixon, who has been there since day one and has opened up a unconventional family life, but one that really works for her and is based on such a long history with she and Juan. I mean, they've known each other since high school. His parents passed. I mean, it's really an incredible, they are family, those two. However many people want to question that relationship, what is clear is they are actually family and will always be. So, anyway, wish both Candace and Robin well, and I do hope to see both of them back on our Potomac screens in the future. Candace, who clearly, I think, has a pretty big music career ahead of her, put on Insecure. I need to add Insecure to the Kiki Lounge. This is such a jam. Do you know Insecure, the Candace song?
I can't wait to hear it again now.
see if you can find the chorus, because it's really good. Also, last week the news that BravoCon is on pause.
Oh no!
Came out. Well, it's coming back in 2025.
Oh,
and I'm so glad BravoCon ended this year. By the way, I have nothing to do with really when BravoCon is, whether they do it, whatever. So however you feel about it, take me out of it. But I remember saying to the powers that be, I was like, God, this was so great. I was hoping not to do it this year because I just felt like it will be even more special if we way to be.
Yeah.
And I feel like the availabilities for the size we needed were maybe even for a little earlier this year. So I'm glad we're waiting a beat. Ooh. It feels like it just happened.
It's exhausting to think about that.
I know.
I didn't do anything compared to what you did, and I am still exhausted.
We are all living in the aftermath of last year's BravoCon, so it's cool. Mm. I will say, you know, Ben Cohen still likes to sing my opening number on the way to nursery school, so that's fun. West made his Clubhouse debut. West from Summer House on Thursday. I have not seen a response to a new Bravo celebrity of this size since, I'm trying to think who. Maybe Chanel Ayan? I don't know. People love the guy, and he is lovable, and he's very thoughtful and fun. And it was funny. I ran into he and Amir from Summer House day drinking the other day on the street, right by where I get my, right by one of my favorite food spots in the West Village. Anyway, he's a great guy, and he's so proud of being from Missouri, which I love. I'm a Missouri guy. When Missouri people meet Missouri people, there's something. It's and St. Louis people. I mean, it's Tom Sandoval, you know? Tom and I, people are always like, I don't explain your relationship with Tom Sandoval. I'm like, we're both from St. Louis, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, we connected on St. Louis. I remember first seeing him on Vanderpump Rules with a St. Louis hat on. And at the time, I had met him, but I didn't realize he was from there. I was so excited to have someone else on Bravo repping St. Louis. So, there you go. I'm happy that West has such a big footprint in Missouri also. Now, did you see the picture rocking Coachella?
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw.
Teresa Judice.
I can't take my eyes off it.
And Taylor Swift. Taylor looks so kind in the picture.
Who do you think she thinks that was?
I got to tell you something. With all due, I think she thinks it's Teresa Judice. I think Teresa Judice is intensely, highly recognizable.
That's true.
And I think she, by the way, Teresa's been on TV for like
20 years. Yeah.
14 years or 15 years. So I think that Taylor Swift knew exactly who Teresa was.
I was
Thank
surprised
you very much.
Teresa was at Coachella.
She and Louie were there. They love a Coachella. Teresa does a Tulum-themed dinner. They love face paints. They love...
Are they shroomers?
You know, I think that they...
Probably. Weed.
I think that they open their minds to things. I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yes. I think Teresa has said it.
There's a lot of room in their minds.
Watch what happens live. Well, that's a side conversation. Anyway, I loved seeing that picture. I was seeing all the Coachella pictures. Ugh. And at first I was like, you can't spell Coachella
Trash.
Without hell. And then, you know what?
No.
Yesterday I was looking, I was like,
because you're a deadhead.
I want to go there.
You like that shit. That is hell on earth.
If I could go there.
Hell.
And not have to take a selfie with anyone, I would.
No, you still have to deal with like looking and smelling all that gross shit that's happening.
I got no problem with that.
Ew.
Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I love it when you're in New York City.
Me too.
I love my sobriety in the month of April. You know, you know what it causes me to do? When I don't drink, it causes me to turn on the television a little bit more.
You watch so much TV already.
No, I don't. I only watch the shows I have to watch.
Maybe
I have
you
to watch...
pay attention to what you're watching more when you're not drinking.
No, girl. I have to watch every episode. Let me say this.
I get to watch
for my job every episode of every Housewives.
That's a lot of TV. I've been saying it's a lot of hours.
No, it is. But that's my job. So, like, for example.
Recreational television.
I finally watched Mother Love on HBO Max. The documentary.
Mother
about
God?
The cult. Yeah, Mother God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you watch it?
Yeah, the day it came out.
Okay. I'm a little late to the party.
And I used to watch her live streams when I was at Watch
Are
What Happens
you
Live, when we would be killing time, like, what could be a Mazel today? And they would be broadcasting. They were like, hey, have you seen this colloidal silver woman in Colorado? And we would watch and just,
no
and she
way.
Would be drunk, abusing her people, screaming. And we'd be like, this lady is really just popping off.
Wow.
And then turns out, wasn't great. You're not done.
Oh, I'm done. The colloidal silver killed her. Spoiler alert.
Well, alcoholism killed her.
Alcoholism.
Anorexia.
And colloidal silver and
toxicity,
anorexia. And this is a woman from Florida. No shade to Florida, but I wasn't surprised. That's where she was from. And she wound up deciding somewhere along the line that she was Mother God. She abandoned her children.
She did ecstasy with the guy, and they came up with this kind of concept. Oh,
was it born with ecstasy?
Yes, and shrooms.
All her great mind things was come up. Out of Molly. What can I say?
Yeah.
And there you go.
I mean, she really, it was heartbreaking.
But let me say this.
Her kids.
When the cult was kind of going strong.
Party
seemed
time.
Like a fun place to be a little bit in Colorado.
Don't buy that. Don't buy it. That's you looking at Coachella and saying, I want to go there. It's the same type of red flag.
Well, all I can tell you is that she, of course, as things go, went crazy, got sick,
she
drank too much colloidal silver, and turned silver, died. But and then as she was in the cult, and she was so pretty. She took different fathers. There were different father gods.
Megaverse,
until
multiverse.
Until the last one came. And he was the ultimate father god. And he was like...
on meth.
He was scary. But let me tell you something.
I know what you're going to
say. That last father god,
I know.
He could get it.
I know, he could.
And there were times where mother god was dying and they were like, oh, we have to go to Hawaii because Robin Williams told her in her head. That's a long story. But he then picked her up and took her. And there were some times where he picked her up. He never wears a shirt.
No.
There were times when he was wearing like basketball shorts. You know those basketball shorts?
Yeah.
And I was looking at him and I was like, Father God, you can get it.
Yeah. But then... That's the first thought, and the second thought is, no, this is a criminal meth head.
Right. Okay.
Cult member. Cult leader.
I'm feeling very... I finished that.
I'm glad you finally watched
it. I felt very good about that.
Now you got... There's so many things that you should
I know,
watch.
There are so many cult documentaries.
The Sarah Lawrence documentary series.
Yes. Anderson really was pestering me to watch that Mother God.
Yeah.
He was very like, you need to watch it. You need to watch it. Then I find out Casey and Danielle from Bitch Sets watched it and loved it.
Yeah.
I feel a little, I'm feeling triumphant with my field work on Instagram to improve the lives of my followers. And what I am referring to is that... I went public that the bib lettuce salad at Mirandi, a bit of a local story, but sometimes politics, you know what? Politics is always local. Is that the expression?
It can be, yeah.
Anyway, I complained to Keith McNally over Instagram that the new chef was kind of doing too much at Mirandi and they need to replace the bib lettuce salad. And he DM'd me back and said, you're right. I'm going to replace it.
What's wrong with it?
I went with Bruce the other day. Guess what? It's back. Oh. Mr. McNally is a man of his word. I was very excited about that. And that same night that I went to Mirandi and saw that it was back was the night that I went to that gay party at the Standard. Someone came up to me at the gay party, and I cannot make this announcement yet, but it really made me feel like, oh my God, this is going to affect not just New York citizens, but parents who had the same complaint. I complained on Instagram about a toy in the last year. I really complained, and this person came up to me and he said, I work for that toy manufacturer and we are fixing the problem because of your post. And
is it the American doll that you thought was ugly?
No, it's not. And my sister then texted me. She goes, do not. She basically it takes a lot for my sister to kind of boss me around at this point. She lets me be. She texted me. She goes, please stay away from American Girl dolls. Do not get into it with them.
She's right. Like,
that ain't the fight you want to pick.
That's right.
Exactly. But no, this guy said, so I am anxiously awaiting. This is. this is going to be big. For parents, this is going to be a big one. And it made me, you know, and I was thinking, wow, I'm kind of the voice of the people on Instagram a little bit. And it made me remember, look, my first field work was on Bank Street. I was used to walk Waka every day, and I would complain about the trash at this building, and I shamed the building owners into getting new trash bins so much that the New York Post wrote a story on my field work. You know, listen, to quote Donald Trump, you know, I don't know. Some are suggesting maybe I should run for mayor of New York. Back with more from this week's Daddy Diaries after this.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aw,
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. We were live last night on Watch What Happens, and we had Kristen Doty and Tom Schwartz. Guess who was behind the bar, John?
I missed it. Who was it?
It was the Montana Boys featuring Kristen Cavallari's boyfriend, Mark.
Are you
Estes.
Kidding me?
I am not kidding.
And how could you not tell me this?
John, the reason I bring it up to you is because I then stalked his Instagram last night, as one does, and yeah. I saw you all over it. You like every photo he has. That's why
I didn't
know to bring it up beforehand. And by the way, cut to, didn't know they were bartending until I got there. I had, of course, said yes to it a while ago, but I didn't realize it was for that show.
Wow.
When I tell you.
I know. I told
a more beautiful man I have not seen.
Yeah. He's literally the next Brad Pitt.
Tyler Cameron included. I mean, just.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean. He is a stunning looking dude. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Gorge.
Yes. The Montana Boys are I only knew of Mark Estes because he's dating Kristen Cavallari. He's her younger guy that she's dating that people are talking about. By the way, she's only 37 or so and he's 24. So big whoop, 13 year age difference. Not exactly, you know. Anna Nicole Smith and that, you know, geezer she was with.
Also, Kristen Cavallari is eternally 24.
Exactly. You know? And that's how I feel about me. I'm eternally 32, which is why who cares what age I date, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, the Montana Boys, apparently, they're a trio of guys who kind of lip sync on TikTok. But then I watched a couple of their videos. Do they really lip sync? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't
matter.
They're
just doing trends and
they're
hot.
Cute. Yeah, they're
but
hot.
He also, he plays football.
They all met playing football together. I really kind of got to know them during before the show. It's fun. John, your show the other night. Now,
oh, thank you for coming.
I had such a ball. I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. You were so great. Your voice sounds so great. And you've done production on all your songs, which is really great. And I loved it. I really loved it. I want to talk to you more about it. But here's the thing. I got in a fight at John's show.
You got in a fight.
I got in a fight, okay? These women sitting behind Bruce and I, they weren't, I don't want to call it heckling, because I think that
they were just
heckling
a part of,
means trying to mess with the person. And I do not believe their intentions were bad.
Nah.
I think they were big fans of yours. And I think that they must be Radio Andy fans. And I think they must like me because they were speaking loudly back to you during the thing. They were in full voice as though you were soliciting people to be screaming at you during the show. Now, this is an actual kind of cabaret show. There is someone on stage performing a piece that is thought out, memorized. There's music and spoken word. It is a show. It's been prepared by John.
It's not an evening of crowd work.
It's not an evening of crowd work. And John's not. There is one point where he asks the audience for an answer to a question. That's the only time that people are supposed to be screaming out. I view this as behavior of screaming during a show as somewhat barbaric, excuse my language. Now, at some point, about a third of the way through the show, a waitress comes over and says, the gals behind you sent you this. And they deliver a martini to me, which was so nice. And I was thinking, oh my God, please don't let it be from the gals that are screaming at John and ruining everyone's show around us. I mean, at the tables around us, people were looking around. And frankly, the management of Green Room 42 should have gone up to them and said, hey, can you keep it down? This is not how you behave. But they didn't, and that's okay. Now, so I kind of turned to them and raised the glass, I think. And
to their credit, you don't want to maybe it might cause the worst
disruption. Already disrupting.
I don't know. I love the staff agreement 42. Keep going.
Right. Anyway, so I finally, it just kept going on and on and on.
But you're not drinking,
so
you didn't drink the drink.
So I'm not drinking, which is fine. And I felt bad because it was a gorgeous looking martini. And I was like, and by the way, you know, martinis aren't cheap. And I was like, wow, these women spent like $25 sending me a drink. That's really nice. So at one point when John was doing a costume change, I ran to the bathroom. Y'all may know, John knows more than anyone, that I have a small bladder because I sometimes get up to pee in the middle of the night, as John experienced for 3 years when we were dating. Side note. So I ran, I came back, the martini was gone, and Bruce said, oh, the gals said, they asked if you were going to drink the martini, and I said, no, you're not drinking right now. And they said, oh, then we'll take it and we'll drink it. And I was so glad that they did, because I hate anything going to waste, especially a $25 martini.
Sure. Yeah.
So the bottom line is, John at that point had about
one song and a half,
7 minutes left in the show.
Yeah.
Thank
Almost
you.
Almost done.
And they were really ramping it up. And I turned to them and I just made eye contact.
Well, when I came back on stage, I said, I again wasn't soliciting, but I was making a joke. And right before I was about to put the punchline on it, they screamed something out. And at that point, I had ignored them for an hour and really been worried
which
about the
I
audience.
Which I so give it up and to you so, for ignoring them the whole time. I do want to give you props as a performer. John never broke. He never was like, shut up. You know,
I clocked it in the second song, and I even looked over there and smiled like, okay, I'm glad you're waving your arms around like you're at Eras Tour, and I appreciate that, even though everyone's enjoying a crab cake at this sit-down dinner type of thing, but go off. And then they screamed something out, and I did look at them like, who in their right mind is going to scream something right before? And I was mad that they... I don't like someone trying to steal my punchline when it's literally just me talking.
Right. I don't blame you. I was amazed by your restraint.
So I said, no, that's not the correct answer I was about to say, but if you let me finish, I'll just continue. And
right.
then I saw you turn to them and start talking. And what happened?
I turned to them and first I just bugged my eyes out, and I'm sure they crossed as far as they could cross, which is... You know, as you know, I have crossed eyes. And they just kind of looked back and they didn't get it. And then they said something else. And I said to them in this exact tone, I go, you're being really rude. I said it like that, which is not, to me, that tone. Like, do you think that's so bad, Jordan? Like, I was like... You're being really rude. I was like a little exasperated and kind of pleading.
But if someone's drunk, they might take... I was worried that it doesn't matter what you say to someone who's that confrontational and literally has no concept of a boundary or reading the room right. If you say that to someone, it doesn't matter what you're saying. Like, they could turn. And that's why I was worried.
Oh, they turned, girl. They turned. I go, you're being really rude. They go, rude? We are being fun. And then they were like talking, they were so pissed and they were talking to themselves and they were just furious. And I was sitting there and I was like, you couldn't have kept your mouth shut for 7 more minutes. And then I'm like, oh, great. You know, you wonder who is kind of trolling you on social media or what. You know, I'm like, great. These people now are going to be my enemies for life. And they sent me a drink, and now this is how I repay them. They were so pissed, and also I was a little scared because I was like, okay, what's going to happen when the lights go up after this show? Like, I'm now cruising for, and Bruce
goes...
I
ran out of there, and... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Bruce goes, I go, oh, my God. I go, these women, I go, what did I just do? And he said, Bruce goes... You had to say something. And I said I did. I go, you know me. I'm Evelyn Cohen's son. Like, I can't keep my mouth shut. So then the show ends and they race out of there and they say to me, we were being fun. We're not rude, like as they're huffing out. And then I thought, oh no, I bet they didn't pay their bill. So I went over to their table to check because I saw the bill on the table. They did pay it, thankfully, because I thought I was going to have to pay for their bill, which I would have, because I had so, you know, whatever. And so then Bruce and I run out because we wanted to find John backstage. And so we ran out, and as we're running out, the venue is on the 4th floor of the building, Green Room 42. And as we run out, the gals are in the elevator. And the elevator door is open. Now, I think, well, maybe I'll just try to make it nice with them. And I said, well, thank you for the drink. And they just started screaming at me. And Bruce goes, what are you doing? He goes, are you trying to get in a fist fight with these ladies? I go, no, I felt like I had to acknowledge.
What are they screaming? What are they screaming?
I don't remember. I said, I felt like I needed to acknowledge, like they did. They sent me that drink. I mean, it was very nice of them. So I will say is this. If you guys go see John's show, please behave like adults. Don't be an asshole and ruin it for everybody else. And by the way, other people came up to me on the way out and said, thank you for speaking to those
Yeah, I was going to post some DMs. Like, most people that I got text messages from was like, that was so great, except for that lady, you know, those ladies ruining it.
Oh, I wanted to say, Peacock.
Oh my God, I saw this.
It's so amazing. They're airing a bunch of old Bravo shows, vintage, NYC Prep,
Tabitha,
Gallery Girls, Tabitha Takes Over, Millionaire Matchmaker, Rachel Zoe Project, on and on and on.
NYC Prep.
So check that out. And I'm especially happy that Peacock is airing The Real Housewives of D.C. Now, The Real Housewives of D.C., I loved that show. There was so much to love about that show. It was a one-season wonder. And I don't think that it got enough love. It got torpedoed, mm-hmm. if you will, by what happened towards the end of filming, which was that the Salahis actually,
crashed the gates.
Unbelievable to think about now, but they crashed the Obamas' first state dinner. And when I tell you, I was on, not to puff myself up, but I was on a yacht in Indonesia the day after it happened. And on the front page of the New York Post was Mikhail Salahi with, and it said like party pooper or party crusher or something. I was like, oh my God, this is not good. But let me say this. It was a great show, and it really was about the proximity to power in D.C. And you had a group of women. It was a diverse show before Bravo was getting, low marks for diversifying their housewives. This was early in the run of Housewives, and this was a really diverse show. And it was just, I thought, a kind of look at people's relationship to the power structure in D.C. because you had Kat, whose husband at the time was a very successful, I think Pulitzer Prize winning photographer. He photographed the Obamas extensively and covered major news events. And then you have the Salahis, who we follow them going to the state dinner. You've got Mikhail Salahi looking around the trunk of her car like, oh yeah, where is that invitation? It's got to be in here somewhere. And then it turns out at the reunion, which is must see TV, this reunion, and you guys cannot imagine what worldwide news this made. This housewife crashing the state dinner. And I so lobbied and campaigned for DC to get picked up for a second season. Stacey Turner had family, I think, in Africa that she was in search of, that she had never met. And I think by the time of the reunion, she had made contact with them. And I was so excited. I was like, wow, we can follow Stacey Turner to find her real family. This will be an exceptional story and more fallout from the Salahis and all this stuff. Well, when the FBI subpoenas your raw tapes, there ain't no way. This was such a big internal Shonda at NBC Universal that there was no way this show was coming back. I think I didn't fully realize it at the time, although I remember that my bosses were in very serious meetings every day because of all of this. It was wild, but I so urge you to watch the Housewives of DC on Peacock and watched the reunions. It was wild. And I remember really interviewing the Salahis was like, it was a merry-go-round. It was a merry-go-round trying to get a direct answer from them about whether they had an invite, about whether they crashed it. It was, and I think what I came down to was that they knew someone in the administration and they basically were told, yeah, try. Maybe we'll get your name on the list, something, but they got right in. So there you go. Please, justice for the Real Housewives of DC. Watch it on Peacock. Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Did you read the article of Courtney Love basically torching everyone in the music industry?
I saw the headline that she said Tori Amos is the greatest songwriter of our time, confidently.
She also said terrible things about Taylor Swift. And she also...
Go off.
Kind of similarly about Beyonce. She was like, I like it that she did a country album, but yeah, I don't like the album. The album sucks. I mean, and I just love someone, and Keith McNally just did it on Instagram again.
Oh my God.
You know, people who have no fucks to give about others in an era where of social media, where of course you are going to get torched for saying this about Taylor Swift. Of course you will be torched for saying this about Beyonce. I do love how punk rock Courtney Love is, that can be like, yeah, no, this is what I think. Great. Go to your keyboards, kids. I don't care. Like, that's the way to be. I mean, it's kind of amazing, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing. Cares? Anyway, props that for...
The Keith McNally thing is funny. I mean, that was... Listen, Courtney Love is like... has become someone of a commentator. She knows so much about music. She has studied it. She's obsessed with it. She's a savant about knowledge, about specifically a certain time period as well. She like speaks with authority, and especially about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She has big opinions about that.
Right.
She goes off. But Keith McNally just decided to post a photo of Lauren Sanchez and say, look at this horrible bitch.
I know. I mean, he took cracks at her appearance.
I mean,
and
he didn't have to upload a photo of them that day.
The amazing thing about Keith McNally is he is a business owner with restaurants. It used to be just in New York. He now has Pastis in Miami. I think he just built a Pastis in DC. He's like really
a billionaire
expanding.
Could help his business quite a bit.
Exactly. And the thing is, though, his restaurants are so hot. And you will recall that I was very excited on Tuesday to report that Keith McNally had put the bib lettuce salad back on my thing. Now,
how could we forget?
Later that day, he wound up trashing Lauren Sanchez. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to say. I mean, this is someone who is a vocal supporter of Woody Allen. He trashed James Corden's behavior at one of his restaurants. So he clearly has no fucks to give whatsoever. And again, I mean, I will commend someone who has no fucks to give in this day and age, because it is just, you can lose everything for having no fucks to give. I will point out that, in a serious note, the man suffered from a stroke a few years ago. And so I think he doesn't have the filters that maybe he had before his stroke. Maybe. This is total conjecture. I've not met the man in person. I am a huge fan of his restaurants. And if you read any of my diaries, you will note how many times Mirandi and Pastis are mentioned. And if you are a Radio Andy listener, you will note That the French onion soup at Pastis is my jam. Now, speaking of people with no fucks to give, I also wanted to shout out one, Lisa Rinna. Now, Lisa Rinna left The Housewives of Beverly Hills after, I think it was 8 years, which is a very long run on any show, specifically on The Housewives. I gotta tell you something. I did not have it on my bingo card that Lisa Rinna would become not only a model, but she is walking in couture campaigns.
Yes.
In Paris. She is now doing an actual print campaign for Marc Jacobs. Like, she is legit a major, she has become a real player in the fashion industry, and I'm really impressed. I've got to give it up to her. She's got 11 lives, Lisa Rinna, and also, I guess that what I would have thought would happen with her after Beverly Hills, I thought, one of two things. I was like, the talk is going to make her a co-host immediately, which I do not understand why they didn't do. Maybe that show wouldn't be getting canceled. Lisa Rinna is a great, I could see her on The View. I could see her on The Talk. She's also very politically active and thoughtful. So I would have thought that she would have been on one of those shows, or that she would have wound up on a scripted series, like, no question. And I know that she has gotten a bunch of series work, but I just didn't expect this. And I think it's amazing and very exciting. So props to Lisa Rinna on a post-Housewives renaissance and renewal. So there you go. Gosh, I mean, when I saw that Marc Jacobs campaign, that should have been bundled in with all the Bravo news of the week. Mm-hmm. I was really, as the kids say, gagged. Speaking of gagged, I was on I was on the Gail King Charles Barkley show with Anderson last week, and come to find out it's been canceled now, so I hope Anderson
really
had nothing
that's
to do
a bummer.
With that. Yeah, I read that in the post. But anyway, I was on that show last week, and Gail said, it was a really long segment. It was like 20 minutes. I was sitting there at one point. I was like, are they going to edit this down, or is this the whole, like, I mean, we were literally just kibitzing. We were like shooting the shit. It was wild. And at one point, she said, oh, well, you and Anderson have messed around, right? Like, you guys have fooled around. And we were like, we both got our cackles up or whatever. We were like, no, we have not. We haven't fooled around. She goes, oh, I always thought you fooled around. And I was like, hackles, yeah. And I was like, no, we haven't. I said, well, you know. She said, well, I just thought that because you're such close friends. And I said, well, you know, I've never thought that you and Oprah fooled around. So it was,
she's like, wow.
It was really funny. And then she clapped back and said, well, you know, I mean, we're not gay. And I said, okay. And I said, well, I did ask Oprah whether she had swum in the lady pond when she was on Watch What Happens Live. Jordan, did you work at Watch What Happens Live when Oprah was on?
No.
You were not there.
No, I think that was right before me.
Got it. Where did you work before Watch What Happens Live?
I was at Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Got it. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I said that to her, and I, great. And I went home. We had taped our segment because Anderson had to go do his show and I had to do mine and whatever. So then when it was airing, I had forgotten it was airing. Great, whatever. I guess the second I said that, here were the two people who were watching the show that night. One was Erica Jane, who immediately texted and was like, oh my God, you gagged Gail with that line. She goes, I am so impressed that you came back that quickly. And I was like, Erica, you divas have taught me so well that I just really, I know how to clap back because of you divas. All right. I want to open our mailbox. We've got an email set up and it is, what is it again?
AndyIsWrong@SiriusXM.com.
Okay, there you go. And I got an email. Now we've Sarah Silverman has told us before that she listens all the time. And, you know, I mean, I guess I believe her because we talked about in the mailbag 2 weeks in a row. Someone emailed and said I was mispronouncing the word oeuvre. And I guess
I was thinking about this on the plane, trying to say it out loud. They're saying you're supposed to say it like,
hors d'oeuvre. Hors d'oeuvre.
Or maybe they're saying we don't say hors d'oeuvre right. Eau d'oeuvre. Is that how we're supposed to say it?
Hors d'oeuvre.
Do you want the Google pronunciation?
Well,
hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, what is it?
Hors d'oeuvre. Oeuvre. Hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, wait. Do it again.
Oeuvre.
Is that Paris Hilton saying it on Google?
Oeuvre. Oeuvre.
That's hot.
Oeuvre. It does sound like her.
That's hot.
But I think
wait, say it again.
Right.
Oeuvre.
Oeuvre. Oeuvre. Thank you. Oeuvre. I am saying it correctly.
I think the problem is that we Americans mispronounce hors d'oeuvre. You know what I mean? Like if you were saying
it. Is it supposed to be hors d'oeuvre? D'oeuvre?
Like if d'oeuvre? You were French, that's how you'd say it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Hors d'oeuvre?
Hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre?
Hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Right. Okay, fine. Well taken. Hors d'oeuvre.
Here. I don't like hors d'oeuvre pronunciation. Anyway. Okay.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, well, that was the American pronunciation.
Oh, well, okay. Okay, why is Paris Hilton doing the voice of the Google pronounce?
But also, like, of all the things to complain about, like that we're not saying a French word properly,
well,
by the
whatever.
Way, we're not French.
Well, guess what?
It's actually whatever.
Okay, well, Sarah Silverman sent me a clip from the Steve Martin documentary. Steve, a documentary in two pieces, which, by the way, I need to watch. Have you guys seen it?
No.
I'm dying to watch it. Anyway, she sent me this clip.
And that's an important movie in my oeuvre.
So he says oeuvre. Okay. Well, so I'm in the ballpark, you know. I'm in the ballpark.
You're fine. You're saying oeuvre right. They're saying we don't say hors d'oeuvre right.
Okay. Well, let's open the mailbag. Melissa G said, now I've been complaining that I don't want to buy a subscription to Paramount Plus, but Melissa G remembers that I did a campaign for Walmart Plus, and she said, did you know that with Walmart Plus, you get a free subscription to Paramount Plus?
Oh,
as a
shit.
Spokesperson from Walmart, they should not have gatekept that from you. Happy streaming. Well, that is great news. Oh, my God. Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you. Then I can link that up with my Walmart Plus account. Stephanie in Minnesota said, Andy is wrong to force his listeners to hear any amount of Barbara's book. If you think I care what Barb is eating or what color her sweater was, think again. I was purposefully avoiding purchasing this book in any format. I also can't stand how she has zero lessons where maybe she was wrong and learned a lesson. But I do love hearing about your kids puking in the car because we've all been there. Okay, well, forgive me for sharing something I'm excited about, Stephanie. I mean,
yeah, I think the nuance there is that we are saying how ridiculous that someone has written this book, but we're obsessed.
We love it. It's everything. Listen,
so
you can. To me,
we're not earnestly saying.
Well,
oh my God,
I
can't. Like, I'm so.
We love her.
Funny.
We love her,
and I love the book. But some people maybe don't get there's also a nuance of humor there that we think it's funny that she took 48 hours to talk about some of the stuff she talks about, but I love it.
Right. But also you can, if you really dislike her that much, you can kind of latch on to what we're saying in that way, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. David's in St. Pete, loves your giggles in the background, Jordan. And he says he'd love to hear more about my dating life. but I get why you don't talk much about it. I feel weird about it. That gay dad in Texas, it turns out he listens to the show. There was another gay dad that I have been on dates with. He listens to the podcast. So, like, I gotta be careful. I've got to be careful. That's all for this week's edition of Andy Cohen's Daddy Diaries podcast. To hear every minute of my Kiki with John, plus interviews, news, and more, you can listen to my SiriusXM channel, Radio Andy, anytime on the SiriusXM app. We'll see you right back here with more Daddy Diaries next week.
Radio Andy, always unpredictable. A SiriusXM podcast.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze. And it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.